And I've seen this happen with the case that we had when I was trying to save WDCU radio in Washington, mm-hmm. and I've also seen it, it when I was speechwriter for the chairman of the FCC, Charles Ferris, a long time ago. I think we need to make a very detailed presentation about the fact that broadcasting is our public square, is the one thing that everybody can get for free, and there needs to be a case for free speech, because you got to be able to speak freely. We are the perfect people to come out for this, because we have an all-volunteer, largely volunteer programming staff. We celebrate robust speech. We have a great history. We have a wonderful mission. And we need to document all the things that we have done to think about this policy and how we're going to react to it, and how it has crippled us, I think, in a way. Also, we need to do this informational programming about what is free speech. I think we need to just have a list of all the things we can't play. I think we could have a festival on that. We need to let our audience know how this has affected us. And I think we're going to have to rewrite the guidelines with context within them to say, you know, you may think this is repressive. We think it's repressive too, but it's a fact. I also wanted to ask the question of, does WPFW not archive at this point?
Say that again.
Do they not archive their programming? I'm not sure, Dan. I don't think John can hear us right now. They used to not be able to as recently as last year. I don't know whether they're archiving their program on a day-to-day basis now.
You guys would know if they were.
They're not.
Nathan just said they're not. So that's the answer.
Okay. Well, we need to work on that.
Okay, Dan. Very impressive. Now Bonnie is next on the stack, and then Teresa is the last one.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things.
Okay, sure.
That I myself said when I was talking about the bleeping language in here, I actually understand why we have this in our policy now, because I think on a practical level, you start splitting hairs really peculiarly, and it is not sufficient to bleep the U and the C out of fuck. And we really can't, you know, look at it that way and go about it that way. It's also sort of a problem because there are many records that are being given out as edits from various record companies and producers that will say that they are edited on them. And the way that they've been edited is to bleep out the middle of a word when it's very, very obvious what the word is. And that is not defense for us. If we do that. So it all just points to, you know, I guess I'll step back and say that until we can think of a better way to handle it, I understand why we're saying no bleeping, and that it's really important that everybody listen before they play things, and that they not just at face value pick something up and say, see, it says edited, because it's not those people who are going to get fined, it's us. And I'm just concerned. I applaud the idea of taking some proactive steps to join in defense that is being made against some of the FCC policy, or to communicate in some way with them and see what all the different ideas that people are coming up with, from amicus briefs to other ideas. I just have to be really sure, and I think we all have to be really sure that our own houses are in order at the same time if we're going to do that. It just, you know, seems really foolish to me if at the same time we're working on large projects of that sort, if we're on our own stations being sloppy and letting things through. And I think we all have to really, look to the idea that we're coming up with whatever tools we can. You know, I agree that we have to educate the staffs as best we can. Oh, the one other thing I wanted to mention was you were talking a little bit about getting staff and program directors involved. I know that at one point when we started meeting this year, we did have a discussion about having program directors invited to these calls. And
they are. They receive notices of the calls.
Do they receive different notices than our list? Because the only one that's on is Bobby Hill on the list.
No, the PNB Programming Committee list goes to all the program directors and all the general managers.
About these meetings?
Yes.
About our programming meetings?
Yes. Yes.
Ah.
The Yahoo group includes all GMs and PDs and has been.
Oh, they're on the Yahoo group. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would be a bad idea to, on the next programming committee, perhaps invite the program director specifically and have a discussion about this, because I think that they have kind of an on-the-line view of how they're dealing with this. And I think it would be really useful for us all to hear that.
Excuse me. Okay, Teresa, you're on deck.
I have.
And then we have to wrap.
I have three questions for Nathan. First question, have the PDs required signatures of all programmers at the sister stations, requiring that they are aware, to acknowledge and sign that they are aware, trained, agreeing to comply with avoiding breaking of any of these FCC rules?
To my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet.
I'd like to know why, and I guess I guess you can respond to why, and my second question is, by what date can you insist that they provide that information, or the programmers don't go on the air?
I can bring it up at the Operations Collective meeting this Friday. Assuming everybody's on board with it, we should probably give it at least a month to see everybody, perhaps more. It just...
This is Serena for the staff on this.
Okay, so you think that you could...
What's the third question, Teresa?
My third question is, how many of the staff are trained in this?
The management, what staff are we talking about?
I'm talking about the PDs, and have the PDs trained the programmers?
I don't have a real clear answer at this point how much training has happened. I can inquire around.
Okay. Well, I guess my third question is, can we get a firm commitment that we're going to get the answer to these questions and get a commitment from the PDs and these signatures so we have some sort of consistent enforcement and accountability in this matter?
This is Serena. I'd like to have a discussion of that before we ask for commitment.
Well, right now, Teresa is just asking those questions of Nathan. As soon as she's done, you can respond.
Make a commitment. So I'm saying,
well, Nathan, tell me if it's
a commitment.
May I finish, Serena?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Nathan,
please.
if you don't think it's possible to follow through on this, tell me why. Seems to me it's for the benefit of everyone that there's some sort of consistent understanding and accountability from the part of the PDs and all of the programmers.
Yeah, I also think an understanding of the policy is very important, and that commitment to following it is also important. The difficulty in that is logistical. There's hundreds of people at each station, and, you know, with two stations about to go into pledge drive, it'll be difficult, you know, coming up. It's also the summer months, and people travel a lot, and it's really tough to sort of, you know, hit up everybody. It's just a fact of what it is. I mean, you might hit 70 or 80% within a month or so, but it's just a hard thing to do, logistically speaking, strictly. And then also the fact that it is, you know, I mean, a somewhat controversial policy, as this meeting demonstrates, and that there's going to be a certain amount of objection to signing off on it.
Okay, Serene, you want to...
And then Wendy.
Okay, and we really do have to wrap, ladies and gents.
You know, I think long before we tell people, okay, sign here saying you understand something, I mean, it's clear from this discussion, and there's been more discussion of this by the National Board and on this committee than there has been among, you know, for most of the staff. Before we ask people to sign off on something, we need to be sure that they truly understand that, and that requires a certain amount of interaction with someone who is legally qualified, someone who is a legal expert, namely Krigler, with each of the staff in a manner that is fully interactive. You can read something on paper, and you know, Nathan, to call this policy in its current form controversial is a very kind way. It is deeply flawed.
Yep.
So we shouldn't be asking people to sign off on something where we ourselves contradict or go beyond what the FCC requires. We've just gone through all the problems with it. So the insistence now, well, let's hurry up and get them all to sign off on it, doesn't make sense to me. Fix the problem, address the issues, address the contradictions, address the self-censorship that is so extreme, and then you can talk about distributing the policy and having discussions with Krigler at each of the stations with the staff, both paid and unpaid, because to my knowledge, the errors are not restricted to one category of staff. But at any rate, all of that goes before you demand that someone sign their life away or lose their program.
Okay. I think Wendy is the last one, and then we really do have to have a discussion about where we're going to go. So, Wendy, could you?
Yes. I think that we all agree that all of our issues and everything that we're trying to do to save the world all depends on Pacifica being able to broadcast and all of our stations not being subjected to $325,000 fines, truly draconian, truly ridiculous fines that could be levied against us at any time. Yes, we don't know if they will be. I already said that one of our stations has two FCC complaints pending against it that we're waiting for answers on. I don't think that it's prudent for us to say, well, we're not going to do it unless we get a legal person telling us why this policy is what it is. This is the policy. Until this committee comes up with a different policy and then has the PNB approve it, has the PNB instruct the ED to tell everybody that's what it is, that it's changed, this is the policy. And so it's there for all of our protection as well as to protect our licenses. So it's really not constructive to say, you know, well, we can't do it because we didn't have our legal guy there to tell us. Our management has told us that's what the policy is. So I encourage us all to work together to come up with a better policy. But for right now, this is what it is. We can't argue for individual producers at this point. We can argue to make sure that our program directors make sure that it doesn't happen. But the PDs are the only ones with access to all the programmers. So, I mean, we could say, okay, no more volunteers on the air until we get this down, you know, and we can only count on paid staff because we're paying them and we know they'll do what we say, but that would be ridiculous. We don't want to stifle free speech radio, but at the same time, this is simple. This is a simple thing. Protect our licenses while we figure out what to do.
Okay, thank you. The question now becomes, what are we going to report back to the PNB? We can tell them that we're still deliberating. We can make a statement about what we think and try to give them some more detail on how to improve the policy within 30 days. Does anyone have any thoughts about what we should do to comply with the request to respond to the PNB by the end of this month?
I would offer on bleeping.
Well, I mean, we have to report, we have to say something back to the PNB, and it sounds to me like there is almost a consensus on the fact that we want to protect the license. We feel that it's a repressive policy, and we feel that the guidelines could be a lot better than they are. I'm not sure that we could agree on a lot of things beyond that at this point. But we could, for example, send something to the PNB and tell them that that's what we think, and we're trying to make specific changes in the policy that will get to them by a date certain, within 30 days or 45 days or 15 days or something like that.
Point of information.
Serene.
When you say this month, today's the 29th.
Right.
So when did they give this charge?
We got this responsibility in April.
Well, I think I would like to see I'll get on the stack. That was my point of information.
I'm asking, does anyone, personally, I'd like to send something to the PNB that says there are a couple of broad things that we're in agreement with about the policy. We think that it's important that there is a policy, that it protects the licenses. On the other hand, we're concerned that in its current form it's repressive and they're not usable guidelines for many on our staff. And we're going to let you know what we think can be done specifically. And then I think we can take the discussions that we've had here and the comments that we had from USOC and Terry Goodman and Scooter Schrell and recommend to this body some specific changes that it can send to the PNB.
Rob?
Yes.
I think we all agree that the bleeping thing is ridiculous. If we could just change the word on bleeping, that it must be a total bleep instead of a partial bleep, I bet we could all agree on that.
Yeah, but that's, well, yes, we could agree on the bleeping. We can bleeping agree.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And as far as safe harbor, I mean, I don't think we should go farther than the FCC does. I think obscenity, we all know that obscenity is not allowed at any time of day, but indecency and profanity are during safe harbor.
Don't you have to leave that to the station?
What?
Some of the stations, I think, have maybe, I'm not sure, but I think the stations can, if their policies are even stricter than this, they can uphold those. I don't know.
We're going for a national policy.
Does anybody want to try to send something general to the PNB that expresses our concerns about the good intentions of this policy but the flawed realities of it?
Can I ask another question?
Sure, Serene.
When is the PNB realistically going to be looking at this? I mean,
as soon as we tell them what we think they should do.
Okay, well, I know there's a meeting coming up on June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that there's a realistic...
I don't think we'd be able to detail all of our concerns by then.
No. I understand that. But I'm saying, is there any real possibility that they're even going to be dealing with this Before July?
No, we could simply let them know how far we've gone with the discussion and that we plan to report back finally and in more detail by date certain.
Okay, the only thing around which I've heard consensus is just something that is so obvious that I don't think it even bears stating, which is that we want to protect the licenses because we want to continue to exist.
Yes.
But it seems to me that there's very little else on which there is, you know, full consensus.
Rob, this is Gail. I'd like to...
Yes, Gail.
I know for me, and I'm obviously one other person or two other people, I think we have had the discussion around what we would do at the same time we're protecting the licenses. Excuse me, folks. My allergies are doing me in. At the same time we're protecting the licenses, we're also trying to protect the vision of Pacifica,
mm-hmm.
which is free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And that means getting involved with other people who have the same concerns we do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much consensus there is with that because everybody hasn't spoken on it, but it's certainly an issue that I think we should continue to look into.
Okay.
Can I?
Lisa, yes.
Yeah, Ms. Jack, I think I echo what I think Gail just said, and I certainly echo the sentiments of those who express fighting it, you know, seeing what's going on with other lawsuits, filing amicus briefs and stuff like that. I certainly do support that sentiment. And I think right now, kind of like a general statement to the PND, saying that we're looking at this, you know, we realize maybe good intentions, but there are issues, you know, there are flaws or however we word that. And I also think that we should express some desire to also get a little bit more direct feedback from program directors or to have a meeting with them. And I just want to say toward that, and I'm guilty of this and I will work better at it. I just know sometimes people get emails and they look at them and sometimes they don't look at them. But I think that if we agree to really try to, at the next meeting we have to get program directors on the call, and I think if we agree to that, then if we all maybe approach the program directors at the various signal areas and say, you know, express the importance of their direct input on this or talking with us, I think we would get better results than just emailing them.
This is Wendy.
Wendy, Rob, could you put me on, Teresa?
Yeah, and Dan.
Okay, we have Teresa,
Wendy,
Dan. Who did I leave out? Okay, Teresa?
I would like, I have attended Dan Siegel's training twice. I haven't attended it gazillions.
John Krigler.
What did I say?
Dan Siegel.
Okay, I've attended Krigler's training.
Mm-hmm.
And after that training, I know that there was a form that was written up for programmers to fill out. I would like to be able to say that our national programming coordinator is looking over these forms and is taking the steps to do what we can now to have our programmers sign something. And I hope that if the program directors say, oh, we don't think that that because we have some differences that we can have anyone sign anything, I would at least think it would be prudent, as was explained to Krigler, that we find whatever common ground that we can agree on and have people sign that, because that is a defensive measure in case there is an accusation against us to say.
Yeah, but as Serene pointed out, we don't want to require people to sign something until we feel that it's a fair and accurate document for the purpose.
Well, let's get the document that at least our people have already signed at KPFT.
Teresa, I think that was 2005 into 6,
mm-hmm.
Because I know that we signed one at KPFA then.
Well, can we not at least take that form and delete something if necessary and go with it? I mean, I think it would be inexcusable to say, well, we've done nothing because you know, these hundreds of volunteers can't agree on something. I mean, we need to exercise our leadership and our professionalism on the part of our national programming director to provide some guidance for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wendy and then Dan.
I just need to point out again that this is the policy that's in effect. This policy was developed by the Operations Collective, which is not the ED, but it's the ED and the general managers and the program directors from all 5 stations and the national staff. So as many times as we want to say, well, let's get the PDs on the call, maybe they didn't all vote for it, but the collective came up with this policy. So this is the policy, and You know, if we want to change the policy, then it would be in our best interest to come up with some constructive solutions.
Sure.
Rather than saying, let's just
sure.
drag it out longer and we can't have anybody sign anything now because it's controversial. This is the policy, and the PNB has actually already voted to make sure that the policy is enacted. It was brought up as a substitute motion that this policy not be in effect while we duked it out, and the PNB did not pass that. So the policy right now is that this is the policy.
Well, right. We've
and that the programming committee should try to come up with a better one.
We've agreed that in fact is the case. Okay. Dan.
Well, this policy, the obscenity, indecency, and profanity policy, is a basic policy of the FCC. It's been in effect for a couple of years, or let's just say it has flared up, and certainly it has developed since then. I think we have to do something about it, and we have to be very efficient about it, because otherwise somebody's going to challenge our licenses and say we haven't dealt with this
mm-hmm.
fully and we're incompetent to hold licenses, and they might have a point there. We do have a policy, and here's what I think we ought to say to the PNB, and I think this ought to be the cover sheet to what we have the people sign, all the programmers sign. First of all, it's the highest priority of this network to make sure our licenses are protected, and that means we've got to obey this policy that is in effect and has been in effect. But also, as part of our mission, we want to hold a comprehensive conversation with the FCC, as well as try to get involved in lawsuits or the response to lawsuits, and make detailed comments to the FCC on this policy. And the first thing we have to do is make sure we get very detailed comments from our programmers on how this is going to limit them in very specific ways. It's just a way of building a case. And also, I think we should say that we are in the process of rewriting the policy to make it more understandable and to deal fully with the myriad of issues that it has raised. But I think we ought to be firm.
So you think our response to the PNB should be that we agree that it's of the highest priority that we protect licenses, but that we want to have a serious discussion with the FCC about these regulations, and that we're concerned that we need to get specific comments from programmers, which we so far haven't gotten, and that we're in the process of rewriting the policy.
Yes.
All right. Do you want to entertain a motion that that's what we communicate to the PNB this month?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second for Dan's motion?
Second.
Okay.
Point of information?
Teresa?
And Gail.
Okay. And Gail? Yes?
Because, Mr. Chairman, we asked for input and did not get it when we were doing our program policy, when he asks about getting, when he mentions getting input from programmers, are you suggesting that if the programmers don't respond, that would hold us up some?
Well, no.
Well, we might want to make that clear.
No, I think we ought to ask for those comments on a continuing basis. I think every programmer ought to be saying, well, I wanted to play this song and this song and this song, and I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And writing down the names and coming up with a catalog of all the things that are being censored.
A weight of evidence.
But they can't say it on the air because that invites other people to complain.
Well, you can say we can't play this, but the point is to build something that we can take to the FCC just to show the whole context of what's happening at our station, a station that really epitomizes the best of what the law calls for, the communications law calls for. You know, most of the stations that are out there now could be programmed by a computer, and, you know, there's no real, there's not much in terms of serving the public interest. Certainly not to the extent that, that we do it, you know, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Point of information?
Yes, Lisa.
Can we have? Can I have that motion read again, please?
Yeah, let me just give it. I'm trying to make it concise for you. Do you want to do it, Dan, or you want me to read what I read
I'll
before?
I'll try it.
You go ahead, too.
It's the we consider this getting everybody on board with this policy to be the highest priority of our network in order to protect our licenses. Therefore, we would like to see every programmer sign something saying they understand this is the policy and they are on board with it. At the same time, as part of our mission, as part of the network's mission, we intend to conduct a comprehensive conversation with the FCC, providing them with detailed comments on the need for free speech, robust speech, I think is really the way it's called by the FCC, and that we intend to try to get involved with legal action that others are taking. I think it's probably good that you boiled this down, because I'm not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, you're fleshing the idea, but basically, Lisa, what he's saying is that we agree that it's the highest priority to protect the license, and in that regard, we understand the importance of the policy, but that we want to have a thorough discussion about the problems with this regulation with the FCC. Then we're going to make sure that we get detailed comments from programmers, and we're probably going to have to find different ways of getting them than we've tried in the past. That's parenthetical. And that we're also in the policy, we're in the process of rewriting the policy. So we're affirming that it's the highest priority to protect the license. We're saying we want to have a conversation with the FCC. We're indicating that we want to get detailed comments documented from programmers. And we're closing by saying we're in the process of rewriting the policy. That's Dan's
motion.
Make
it more understandable and to deal fully with the issues, with several issues.
Right, but you...
May I offer a couple of friendly suggestions?
Sure. That's why you have the floor.
Excuse me. This is Gail. I think I was on the stack.
Okay. She may go.
Oh, did Lisa come in before you, Gail? I'm sorry.
I think I turned a point of information into him.
Oh, okay. And let's let Gail do it, and then you can come back.
Right.
Gail, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I simply want to understand that I go back to what I had mentioned earlier and what, of course, the discussion had been about also researching and the our involvement with other groups fighting this. Does that fit into this at all, or is that a separate point?
Well, I think it's part of the process. I don't think that we need to include that in our resolution to the PNB at this point. I think it's a process that we should follow through on, that this committee should follow through on.
Well,
does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Can I answer? I think it should be in there because it's important to say we've got to do this draconian thing, which nobody is going to like, and they're very entitled not to like it. But the positive part is we're going to do something proactive. We're going to try to get the FCC to take another look at this. Especially in our particular context.
Okay, well, we've got a motion, and the simpler it is, the more likely it's going to pass. I'm not suggesting that we won't do some of these things, but if you want the motion to pass, we better stop adding to it or it's going to become insupportable at some point.
Okay.
I'd like to be on stack, too. It's Bonnie.
I heard Bonnie and then Serene, or Serene and then Bonnie.
We can do it alphabetically. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Serene and then Bonnie, it's fine.
Yeah. Bonnie.
No, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, I'd like us to vote on these things.
Hmm?
She wants
like
to divide
to vote
the
on the three parts. Yeah.
And if I'm, because I don't think I took myself off the stuff, but I don't go after Bonnie.
Okay. Bonnie?
You can go first. I don't...
No, you can go. No, you can go.
Good.
Somebody go.
Yeah.
Always
well,
so nice to
Serene
each other.
Serene just asked to divide the motion.
Serene, would you repeat what you said again?
That's pretty much what I said. There are three parts. I'd like to deal with them separately.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay, I can second that, too.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just go now. I was going to, I guess, make some friendly suggestions or amendments pertaining to the motion, but if we're dividing it, that might take care of it. But I was just going to suggest just a couple of things. I think the word rewrite, just because we don't want to alienate people who worked on it, maybe there's another word we can use instead of saying rewrite. You know, maybe give our suggestions or whatever, just, you know. There was also the issue pertaining, because I know that people had expressed concerns about having people sign something, at least right now, or having language about signing something.
Right.
And also, I was just going to, this doesn't necessarily have to be in the motion, but I definitely go back to one of my concerns about also including programming directors, you know, are trying to reach out to them more, because we are the programming committee, and even if they met with all these other people and did that, I mean, we are, you know, we still need their input, and we should, you know, always, you know, appreciate that. Not that I'm saying that people were saying that we don't, but I just go back to that. And that's it.
Okay. If we're going to divide the motion...
One other question. I'm sorry. And just when we say a conversation with the FCC, what exactly does that mean? Maybe the wording can be express our concerns before the FCC or something, because conversation sounds like something, not that we can't, but, you know, just my friendly suggestion.
Well, what it means is that we would send them a letter, but it means that we could basically have a conversation with them in other ways, too. Like, I mean, I think we ought to send them a letter, and then we ought to ask them to come on the air and talk about why they think these regulations, you know, make sense. And talk to them about why they don't. Okay, but in terms of the motion that Dan made, the first part of it is we're basically saying to the PNB that we agree that it's the highest priority to protect the license. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay. I don't hear any objection to that. The second part of what he said was that we want to have a comprehensive conversation with the FCC about these regulations.
Can I just say that my intention, and I think I said this, the second part would be, or part of that first part would be, that everybody should sign something, all the programmers should sign something saying they understand that this is the policy and they agree to carry it out as soon as possible.
Okay. That Dan has revised what he wants the first part of this to be. He wants to make it a double-barreled statement that we believe it's the highest priority and that we think that in fact the programmers should all sign the agreement and acknowledge the agreement and sign their names that they agree to uphold it.
Sign off on it, I think.
Sign off on it. Okay. Does everyone agree with that?
No. Serene for the staff.
No. Okay. So we're going to have to do a roll call. Bonnie, yes, you want to include that language or no, you don't?
Some discussion. I'm sorry. Rob?
Pardon me?
You
yes,
haven't had any discussion,
some discussion,
Rob.
Oh, okay. You want to discuss it? Okay. Go ahead, Serene.
I actually understood it as Dan's motion as a three-parter, namely, everyone thinks protecting the license is very important, then the sign-off issue, and then the conversation with the FCC and the whole legal action thing, which of course is something that we had proposed in the youth law policy, the U.S. recommendations a couple of months ago. So I think that the policy is not clear. The policy is contradictory. The policy is even more extreme than the FCC's own rules. And to insist that people sign off on a policy that is, and we know, of course, after the sign-off comes the threat that if you don't sign off, you can't get on air. To ask people to sign off on this policy, and, you know, regardless of how much, I don't know who's responsible for this policy as it stands now. But I will say that while I appreciate the fact that everyone involved may have had good motives, this is still not a good policy. So that programmers should not be forced to either sign off on a policy that is as flawed as this, or to risk being taken off air. So that absolutely has. I urge people to reject that notion, but certainly it needs to be a completely separate thing from endorsing the protection of our licenses. I don't think there's anyone, whether they have high ideals or low ideals about what we should be doing, I don't think anyone wants us to not have the license because it makes everything else moot.
May I speak? This is Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa.
I'm not asking, well, maybe I'm not concentrating enough to understand, but the policy, the what I'm asking the programmers to sign off on is I'm asking Nathan to find the form and to have the programmer sign off on something that shows that they are basically aware of the problem and are doing what they can to minimize, you know, problems. And I don't know about your station, but our station, we've signed that before. So, I mean, if there's something that's changed from 05 to 07, you know, take that out and get the signature on what we can get. I'm talking about something, not this entire policy, but some guidance for our programmers that we can show that they have been trained to some degree and have some guidance before they go on the air that they will, you know.
Point of order.
Thank you.
Yes, Wendy.
Just that we don't have an alternative policy, so all we can do is to ask them to sign off on the present policy. That's the motion, that they sign off on the present policy, and if, perhaps if people do that, then they'll have more incentive to learn what it is and work with us to change it. We need more input. I agree.
Could I add something just for clarification for everybody?
Sure, Bonnie, go ahead.
If I might just tell you what the previous sign-off form said. It was, I have read and I understand the policy of the Pacifica Foundation and KPFA, in our case, concerning indecent content over the airwaves. I have also read the attached indecency memo and sensitive language report form. I understand the importance of the indecency policy. I agree to abide by the policy fully. I further understand that failure to comply with this policy is subject to disciplinary action up to and including termination of my programmer's contract with KPFA. Now, that was from 2005.
Do you guys have contracts?
I don't have a current one. Well, actually, it's kind of debatable. We have evaluations. And they have a length of time that they run.
Yeah, but that's not an agreement.
From a positive evaluation. So, and then it is attached to the introduction to indecency from Krigler's office.
I think they have to sign off again. It's a new policy.
Right. That's what we're discussing tonight is a new policy. And if Dan's motion is going to go forward, we're going to have to vote on the first part of that, which includes signing the agreement. So, and we're going to do that. We're going to vote. And I'd like to remind everybody it's now 10:37. We're 2 hours. We're half an hour past the deadline.
And all we're doing is asking the PNB to approve what we said. And it doesn't matter if they do or not because it's the policy. But we're telling them that this is our recommendation in moving forward to trying to change the policy.
Right. Initially, what we were saying was that we agreed that it's important to protect the license, that we want to have a discussion with the FCC, that we want to solicit more specific input from programmers, and I would guess that would include program directors, and that we're in the process of updating or adding to or amending the policy. That's all we initially said. The more we add to it, the more people are going to have something to disagree with. So if we're going to go ahead with this, we're going to have to make it simpler. And if not, we're going to have to start voting clause by clause. And I can tell you that some of the clauses aren't going to pass.
Teresa Allen.
Yes, Teresa.
I fell off, I guess.
Oh, okay. So does anyone have a sense of how we want to go forward with this?
I would recommend that when going over with this thing, because Ms. Green had made the motion to divide and it wasn't challenged, so I would just think to go kind of like you were doing, clause by clause, and to vote on that.
Okay. The first clause is it basically states that we agree that the programming committee agrees that protecting Pacifica's license is the highest priority, but that we want, but somehow we want to add to that that we want all of the programmers to sign the policy and agree to abide by it.
All right, but if we, just as a point of information, if we're moving to divide, we would vote on that separately, correct? Since we said we'll divide.
You mean
it.
You want to divide that into two separate sentences?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's important.
Okay. So, first one, is there any objection to the statement that we believe, the programming committee believes that the highest priority is to protect the licenses? Is there any objection to that? Okay. Secondly, is there any objection to the statement that we want the programmers to sign the agreements and agree to, by signing the agreement, they consent to abide by the existing policy.
Is there any
objection to that?
I object for the reasons already stated about.
Okay.
You can't ask people to sign something they don't understand.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Right. So now do we want to have a vote on this or do we want to agree to 86 this from the statement?
We want to have a vote.
Okay.
I would respectfully ask that people not even consider this.
Okay.
Send out a policy that has not been explained and ask people to sign off on it or else is patently unfair.
It's against them if they don't sign off on it, though, because it's the policy. They need to know what it is.
That doesn't make any sense to me. What
it's education.
May I suggest?
What you're suggesting, Lisa?
I was going to say if we know that there are things about this that have to be changed, I mean, I think that this is something that maybe can be considered along, and I would like to ask people to think that we know that there are some issues about this. I think people have raised valid points, and, you know, to just get a motion passed, we're going to present before the committee, I mean, before the PNB, that we can at least agree with as a committee, and we can always take these issues up later on, especially once we look at some of the changes that we think need to be made. So at least present a motion that we can agree upon before the PNB.
I called a question.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to vote on whether or not we want to include in that first phrase that we want all programmers to sign the agreement and their signature acknowledges that they agree to abide by it. And if you vote yes, you mean that's what you want in it, and if you vote no, that means you don't want it.
Rob.
Yes?
Two things. One, you can't call a question committee. But the other thing is, if in fact everyone is told to sign off or we can take you off air, what is management's incentive to come up with a better policy? as opposed to just being able to make programming changes because there's going to be all this free airspace.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Teresa.
Although you cannot call the question in committee, if the chair feels that people are beginning to repeat themselves, the chair can say, I think it's time to vote, so we can move on. And
I would like to move on because we're now half an hour past time.
Rob, this is Gail. I would certainly second that. But I think, you know, the basic issue is whether or not there is a station or a network to say anything on if we run into too many problems with this signing off by programmers. And
I don't know. We seem to be stymied right now, and I don't think we're getting anywhere.
We aren't.
Well,
not to put too fine a point on it.
Yeah, this is Dan. We could say they should sign something acknowledging that they know that this is the policy.
I can second that.
Because it is the policy.
They've read the policy. That they have read and understood the policy.
Yes.
That's it.
We don't
yeah.
even understand the policy.
Well, after you read it, you will.
Well,
all we're writing to the PNB at this point, folks, let's remember this is really an intermediate step. What we're doing is we're writing to them and saying, this is where we are, and one of the things that we've agreed that we want to do is we want to make amendments we want to make these guidelines more meaningful for on-air staff. So we can do that, but what we're doing now is we're getting back to them in the merry, merry month of May and telling them where we are. So this nothing that we put in this motion commits us to putting X, Y, or Z, making X, Y, or Z amendments.
Okay, all programmers should sign the something saying they
have read
acknowledge
and
that they have read this policy and they understand that it is in effect.
But they don't understand it.
Well,
you know,
no, I left that out.
No, but I'm saying, so then what is the point? It's like saying, okay, I understand there is a rule. I don't understand how the rule applies. I don't understand what the rule is. I don't know what you mean by it. But
can we move to a vote?
The rule.
You mean you've
and,
never signed something like that?
I move that you vote.
To sign something to that. But I do have another point I'd like to make.
Move
just
the agenda. I move the motion.
I'm sorry, Wendy, or whoever that is. Can I?
Serene, can you complete what you were saying so that we can
yes,
move on?
My point is that as a practical matter, it's almost a setup that doesn't serve management particularly well either to have to do all this paperwork on a policy on which we just in this call have recommended changes, because then they'll have to do it all over again. What kind of, you know, waste of human energy is that?
Well, we could change the language to indicate that we believe that it's the priority to protect the license and that as soon as the policy has been approved, that then it should be. How's that?
The policy is already approved. We have to change the policy if we want to change the policy.
Right.
I think the most sensible thing is, and it is not that I'm saying that people should be free to go on air and do absolutely anything without regard to consequences. No one, no programmer says that. No programmer that I know, whether or not, you know, we agree on other issues, even suggests that. But the point is that there are problems with the policy. So why would we mandate that someone sign it or risk losing their program when we know that changes have to be made for it to be something that's even, you know, logical? It's illogical in its present state. It contradicts itself.
This is Wendy. I want to move to a vote, but if we're going to keep talking, I want to speak too.
And this is Gail. I would second moving to a vote.
Okay.
Because we just keep repeating the same stuff.
All right. I just want to remind everyone, we're only talking about one section. We're voting on one section of this. Okay? So there's more sections to come.
Can you please read it as it stands now?
As it stands now, we're saying that we acknowledge that the highest priority of the PNB and the programming committee is to protect the licenses, and we believe that the policy should be distributed to all programmers who by signing it acknowledge that they have read it and understand it and agree to support it.
They understand that it's in effect.
Oh,
yeah.
All that they say is that they understand that it's in effect?
Yeah.
Okay, we understand that it's the highest priority that we protect the license, and that the policy should be distributed to all programmers who, by signing it, acknowledge that the policy is in effect.
As soon as possible.
That the program director should distribute the policy to all programmers. Can we say that? If you don't, then it's not going to happen.
Let's fix what we're going to say and then vote on it, please.
I would say... This is Teresa. I would say that the program director should make the policy available for study by all programmers.
But they're signing it. They have to.
We're in stream of conscious mode now, and we're never going to get anything done.
Do we as a committee actually direct program directors? Don't we have to?
No, the PNB will.
We're writing back to the PNB. We're not sending directives to the program directors. No one has proposed that.
Well, I wouldn't have a. I mean, if I was told by the National Programming Coordinator that everyone was on the same page and that we were asking our programmers to do this already, I wouldn't be so concerned about it. But maybe we should ask. I mean, does our National Programming Coordinator feel there's a problem? Maybe he doesn't.
We can only instruct the ED to instruct the Programming Coordinator to instruct the PDs or whatever.
There you go.
We can't instruct the Program Coordinator to do anything.
Why don't we just write to the PNB and tell them that we are in the process of making some amendments for their review and approval?
No, Rob, let's vote.
Okay. All right. We're going to vote on the fact that it's the highest priority and that somebody is going to distribute it to the programmers who by signing it will acknowledge that the policy is in effect. Okay?
As soon as
possible.
I'm
sorry. I did ask that those items be separated.
Well, we already voted for the highest priority.
High priority, right.
Right, but there are three parts, so we vote on them separately.
Right.
Each of them separately.
So now I think we're up to voting on the signing of the thing or whatever.
All right. Number one is the highest priority. Is there an objection? No. The second one is distributing it to the programmer, is having the PDs distribute it to the programmers, whose signature will indicate that they understand that it's in effect and that this distribution will take place as soon as possible. Isn't that what you mean when you say as soon as possible, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to vote against that.
Just a minute.
And
we're voting.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As I stated before, I would like to say make it available rather than distribute, and I say that because we have 200 programmers, and I cannot see printing up 200 of those if it could be made available for them to study it and sign off on.
I don't really care. Is that okay with you, Dan?
I didn't quite get that.
The term
Teresa wants to say that she wants that it should be made available rather than distributed as soon as possible.